Now, this was how Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda used to come out with. Was it Captain Lou? I think they were with Captain Lou for a while.
Come on, Russell. We gotta work to get you live stream, baby. The people need to see you. They should have saw your soda explode. You almost sabotaged the entire program.
You want to do the whole show on Instagram?
And Craig, we should start doing it.
I mean, that's how you do your Infinity stuff, well, right?
You caught me every now and then. Honestly, I like doing my Instagram lives when I'm in this chair because as a brother, Chris Russell, when I say a brother, that's B-R-O-T-H-A. The lighting hits me so great, and it makes me...
You don't even need your shea butter?
You know, ever since my social media consultant has come into my life, I've actually been using Vaseline instead of shea butter. And that's to moisturize my skin, you curmudgeons out there.
Evil social media coordinator.
She's currently on administrative leave. So
she's on double secret probation. All of our football coverage, which has been something. I promise you, people, we actually plan these shows. Mm-hmm. We spend hours planning these shows, and then it just goes off the rail.
You're lying.
I'm telling you, stop that. We spend hours, especially on Wednesdays and Thursdays. My goodness. All of our football coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up later on, clean up on aisle three. We'll get a little bit into the Nationals and some other things. But, Linnell, I wanted to, the NFL season starts tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I can't wait, Chris.
As we know.
Because you know how I feel about this. It's the only time of year where I can come in angry and I have a logical reason for it. It's because the Commanders blew a lead. I'm sorry. That was my personal. I'm sorry.
We don't want them
to blow a lead.
I
tell the people all the time, like y'all see how passionate I talk about this group, and I want you all to know that like I take losses hard,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not an industry plant like Chris Russell and Craig right. Hoffman.
Me and Sheehan,
two guys born and raised in this right. area that actually love right. this team and emotionally are attached to them. It's hard. We take losses a little bit harder than you and the Prince of Passion. That's why it's perfect. You all are back to back. Double plant. Discount double plant.
Did you know that the guy that stole my name, Chris Mad Dog Russo,
mm-hmm.
he did a New York talk show, the most successful talk show of all time. For 20 years, wasn't a New York sports fan. San Francisco Giant baseball fan in New York City. A city that lives, breathes, eats, and craps baseball every day. Every little nuance. Not like this town.
You know what that makes
him?
Not
like this town.
You know what that makes him?
Donkage.
Say it with me. What did you say, Donkey?
Donkage.
I know. That makes him an industry plant. But it's perfect because you're... Your being is derived from his existence. So it's perfect that he's an industry plant as well. It literally is as on brand as you could get.
Sometimes being an industry plant means, God forbid, you're entertaining.
Dockage.
What's the other one?
I forgot. Leon. Oh my God! When we did the Leon Draisaitl news the other day when he got paid, we didn't do that.
I
totally forgot about that. Leon Draxel.
The kid from
Germany, who's been playing for 12 years.
Draxel.
I mean, Mad Dog's got his head, you know, planted up Stephen A. Smith's derriere. That's the problem with that.
Take it easy!
I know. All right, let's get to it, and we'll get to Sean in Connecticut just as soon as we can. So the season starts tomorrow night with an AFC matchup. As we all know, the Kansas City Chiefs, two-time defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow night on Thursday, well, they don't call it Thursday Night Football because that's just a stupid NFL thing.
It's the season opener, baby.
It's on NBC, not on Amazon Prime, blah, 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 blah. Most people think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the AFC West once again easily.
Most people are smart, Chris
because,
Russell.
Yeah, the LA Chargers, yeah, the Vegas Raiders, and you have why am I slipping on the
Broncos?
Oh, the Denver Broncos. Is there any way that the Kansas City Chiefs do not win the AFC West?
Not a chance in hell. That there's, first of all, if there was a year for it to not happen, I would say it's last year. Pat Mahomes statistically had the worst year of his career since becoming a starter in terms of interceptions, the lack of touchdowns thrown. So if there was a year to where Kansas City was going to take a step back and not win that division, I think it would be last year. The Chiefs to me are going to be the number one seed in the AFC, and I think they three-peat as world champions.
Well, thanks for giving the whole entire...
I mean, I've been saying this, though, since this... I've been saying this teasing. Since March.
I'm just teasing.
I've been saying this since March.
I wish I was as confident about the Kansas City Chiefs as you. Now, I think they win the division because the division stinks. I think the Broncos will be better this year. I think Bo Nix is going to be much more Sean Payton's type quarterback, dink and dunk, screen teams to death. I think he is much more Sean Payton's quarterback than Russell Wilson, who always thinks of himself first and is Hollywood and Diva and you know has been. I mean,
you are such a.
I mean, you want to talk about
hater.
Somebody who has been blank whipped. Whew, man, alive. But anyway, I will move on. I will say the Chiefs win the division by default.
By default.
By default. The rest of the division largely stinks. Again, I think the Broncos, who did a deal with Patrick Surtain this morning, good for them, good for him, what have you. I think they are better than people realize. I think they actually finish in second, the Denver Broncos. And I feel like it is a closer battle between the Denver Broncos and what's remaining of that defense and an improved in cohesion on the same page type of offense. I think the Broncos win 9 games this year. I think the Chiefs struggle to get to 10 wins. Struggle.
So I'm looking at the Chargers schedule. Now, why am I bringing up the Chargers? Because their schedule is going to be eerily similar to the one that Kansas City plays. I'm looking at the divisions. The AFC West plays the AFC North and the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Not really that hard relative to the NFC South.
Yeah.
Now, the AFC North is a juggernaut.
Yeah.
They have to play that division the way Washington does, I believe, as well, is makes life a little bit more difficult for you. But I think the team that you're sleeping on in that division that you're not giving much respect to is the LA Chargers. What they are going to be defensively under Jesse Minter, who brings his expertise from college to the NFL.
Jesse Minter now. He's no who was the guy you hated from last year's staff? Brent Wieselmeyer.
So I think they're going to be much improved defensively. I love the pieces that they have in the secondary. They were able to get a Michigan linebacker to come over. That's all Harbaugh cares about. But the thing that people aren't prepared for this year with the Chargers, it's not going to be baby Jesus, as I like to call him, Justin Herbert, dropping back 35, 40 times a game. You're going to see a lot of Gus Edwards. You're going to see a lot of J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, Hassan both Haskins. Of those guys can't stay healthy.
That's why you have Hassan Haskins and Jarrett Patterson, baby.
Oh, yeah.
On the practice squad. But no, seriously.
Little 5'6 Jarrett Patterson.
I mean, they have a big, physical, nasty offensive
they
line.
They do.
Headlined by the best tackle tandem in football for 2024. I'm calling it Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt.
All right. There's no doubt that they are going to be much more physical, much more, not only physical, but much more of a very different eye optic product. There is no doubt. I don't know if their guys can stay. I mean, already, obviously, Justin Herbert was significantly banged up during training. I know he's banged up. They lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. Bosa was hurt last year.
For sure.
I mean, for whatever it's worth, they lost Mike Davis. I mean, we can go, like, we can't do the whole entire roster, but I think the Chargers next year are going to be better than they are this year.
For sure.
As they get more personnel pieces. You take umbrage with the fact that I think the Chiefs are going to struggle a little bit. Remember, we don't know if Rashee Rice is going to get suspended at some point this year. Hollywood Brown's already hurt, going to miss the first couple of weeks. Xavier Worthy, as world-class speed as he has, he's a rookie. Sky Moore has not developed. I mean, Travis Kelce, how much more does he have in him? They lost their backup left guard, Nick Allegretti.
I'm just saying.
I do think while there's motivation to three-peat, I also think there's less motivation in a way when you've climbed that mountain and you're exhausted.
See, I think I can tell you've never been a champion in your life, Chris Russell. That's neither have I, by the way.
Yeah.
That fire and passion, I don't think just leaves you because you've done it two times in a row. He's got a legitimate opportunity this year to, in my opinion, surpass Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time. Physically, I don't think there's a question that he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Sure.
But the accolades, you can have, what is it, 7 rings for Brady?
Yeah.
And it will be 4 for Mahomes if he wins this year.
If he wins this year,
it'll be 4 for Mahomes. He also would have a three-peat, which has never been done in the history of the NFL.
And that is the dangling carrot right there.
That means a hell of a lot.
That is the dangling carrot right there. Yeah. You are correct about that. I just think, you know, again, they kept their defensive line intact, and they kept Spagnuolo, which was huge.
They lost Willie Gay, though, which is going to...
They lost Willie Gay.
That'll hurt them a little bit. But
also, you're forgetting about one very key loss in the secondary, L'Jarius Sneed.
Yes,
but
I...
really good until the playoffs last year.
Their young secondary, though, is lights out.
I understand.
I mean...
I get it all. Trent McDuffie's really good, but L'Jarius Sneed was real. He had not given up a touchdown until, I think, the AFC Championship game, or maybe it was the divisional playoff.
That kid Joshua Williams, they got an outside corner.
Pass rush helps that secondary,
for sure. For sure.
Something we were going to get into, obviously, with the Commanders, which we'll have to table for tomorrow.
Yes.
Because of the unfortunate news with the marketing executive vice president guy, and as obviously the Sam Cosmi contract extension. But the Kansas City Chiefs, I think we both agree, will win the division. You have them coasting a little bit more than I do.
Do you want to give your 1-7 ranking here real
quick? I want to give division winners. That's
you want to give division winners
first? Because we're running behind. So in the AFC South, you have Indianapolis getting Anthony Richardson back. You have Trevor Lawrence presumably in Jacksonville after he gets paid and on a mission to prove that they folded a cheap suit and that was one bad season and they were more like they were 2 years ago as opposed to last year. You have the Houston Texans, defending champions now of the division. They beat Indianapolis on the road. They did not win a playoff game, but they fought like hell against Baltimore for the first half. Okay, so I think most everybody, especially with the addition of Stephon Diggs, has the Houston Texans winning that division. Should we be looking at any other team in the AFC South?
Yeah, we should, and I surprisingly have them as a playoff team. It's going to catch a lot of people off guard. I really, really love the offseason and the mentality as an organization that Tennessee has had. I'm a big fan of that group. I look at the Titans and I go, you know what? This regime, this coaching staff, rather, because Brian Callahan coming over from Cincinnati brings his father, Bill, best offensive line coach in the game. They don't know, though, realistically, if Will Levis is a franchise quarterback or not, but I love their demeanor and their mentality. We don't know if he's a franchise quarterback from a can of paint, but we're going to do everything we can to give him the requisite weapons to succeed. Calvin Ridley, Treylon Burks, Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins. They added Tony Pollard to their backfield. Him and Tajay Spears are going to make up one of the most dynamic backfields.
Tajay Spears is going to be a fun player to watch
in this offense,
for
sure.
From a real and from a fantasy perspective.
For sure. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities, but I think their offensive line is improved.
Ultimately, does Tennessee get it done over Houston?
Over Houston, though? No, but I do think they're one of the 7 playoff teams.
All right, so that's interesting because I think we're both in alignment on that, and I'm glad you brought them up. All right, so we both have the Chiefs winning the division. I have it closer with the Broncos winning 9 games, Chiefs winning 10 games, the Texans winning the AFC South. In the AFC North, My guy, the Birdman, has been threatening me all offseason. You better pick the stupid Ravens. You better pick the Ravens. The Ravens lost three starters on their offensive line.
It's tough.
And unfortunately and sadly, their offensive line coach about a week and a half ago. That is a lot of loss. For the Baltimore Ravens. Odell Beckham leaving, no big deal. They've got Mark Andrews back. You know, thank goodness everything's okay with him. You mentioned a couple of their running backs that they lost. Look, as long as Lamar is on the field, the Ravens are the best team in a very, very, very good division. They brought in, you know, Zay Flowers year two. You know, Bateman, if he stays healthy, maybe he, you know, he can. They kept Matabuque, who now wants to be called Nnamdi Matabuque. So that was a huge keep for them. They lost the inside linebacker, Patrick Queen, to division rival Pittsburgh. But they have Roquan Smith. They have Kyle Hamilton. They have, you know, good outside corners. Marcus Williams is an underrated safety. I still think the Ravens, and they drafted Roger Rosengarten, second-round pick, who can play left tackle, right tackle out of Washington. I think the Ravens, in a really good division, are still the best team in the division as they were last year. I think Pittsburgh's inconsistency at quarterback and maybe even at wide receiver catches up to them, and they've got a lot of injuries on their offensive line already. I think Cleveland, I'm sorry, I know how good their defense is, but no Chubb for at least four games. We don't know how good he is. Amari Cooper might be pissed off and maybe goes through the motions. Who knows about Deshaun Watson? I at this point, I can't count on him. I know they made it with five quarterbacks last year. To me, I think Baltimore is still the best in that division. I think that division winner could be as low as 10 wins. Maybe,
so
possibly even
up,
nine
you,
wins
you
with a tiebreaker.
Beating up on each other.
I see everybody in that 7 to 10 win range.
So with their schedule, that's why I think their schedule is super fascinating to me. They've got their own division to worry about, which is super difficult. They've got the NFC East, who we can make all the jokes we want about the division. I think the bottom feeder in this division has at least 6 or 7 wins. I think that's super difficult. And then in the AFC, they're going up against, is it the South? Houston. It's not the South.
South. You don't play another division, right, in your conference. It's the division in the opposite conference, and then you play.
AFC West, and they play the NFC East.
Okay,
so you do play
a division in your conference, I couldn't remember how the schedule.
And then also in there, they've got Buffalo sprinkled in.
You're right. You play the first place teams in the other division. That's what I was getting confused on.
Buffalo sprinkled in.
So they
there,
have a tough schedule. Baltimore,
Houston
obviously.
sprinkled in there.
Yeah. Okay, fine. They have a tough schedule. You win a division, you're going to have a tough schedule.
We acquiesce to that.
I think it's more important all the losses on their offensive line.
For sure.
And now, you know, I don't think Patrick Queen is a big subtraction. I mean, he makes the middle. Mike McDonald leaving could be a huge problem for them, right? If he is the boy wonder that everybody thinks on the defensive side, he's now Seattle's head coach. That could be a problem. Right? Yeah. But I think they overcome that. I've got Baltimore still winning the AFC North.
I do as well. I have them overall the 3 seed in the AFC. I think while we're upset, I don't want to say upset, while we understand the losses that they've suffered up front along their offensive line, I would say traditionally they've been known for having a good offensive line. I trust their ability to get other guys
still
ready.
Still have Lindebaum and all those.
But what I think is being underscored here, last year, from my vantage point, the way that I saw it, I think it was Lamar Jackson's best season as a passer. Mm-hmm. Statistically, it may not say that. From a yard standpoint, it does. I think it was his best year as a passer. Then having him another year deeper into this Todd Monken offense is huge.
All right, so you got Baltimore winning the division?
Yes.
All right, quickly, AFC East, quickly, because we're running late.
AFC East, I've got the New York Jets winning that division.
Ooh, okay.
I'm a big Jets guy. I think it's going to be ground and pound, smash and dash, whatever you want to call it.
You love Breece Hall. Breece Hall is going to be your
MVP. And I love Braylon Allen, who Washington's defense was scared to tackle.
Braylon Allen is another guy.
And Washington's defense, you talk about their bad tackling, because they were scared of Braylon Allen in week one.
You know who You know, there's another New York running back that not many people know that I think is going to have a good year. Tyrone Tracy, fifth round pick for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Watch out for him, especially week two. All right, so you got the Jets winning the division. I've got my guy Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins winning the division. They hated Vic Fangio last year.
Philadelphia, yeah.
They've got some injuries on defense, but they got a little bit better on the back end. Jalen Ramsey, of course.
I think they
Kendall
got a lot
Fuller.
Better on the back end.
Well, they lost Xavier Howard, but
Kendall Fuller's an upgrade. I would say Xavier Howard was not playing good football and was oft injured, Chris. I mean,
I think Xavier Howard's a little bit better than you think he is.
He's been hurt though, Chris.
I understand.
How many games has Xavier Howard played?
That's fair.
At least Kendall's
That's
available.
Fair. That's fair. I've got the Dolphins. I would like to reserve judgment on that. At this point, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to stay healthy. I have no idea. And what that dynamic is going to be, it seems to have like a weird relationship with Garrett Wilson. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I'm not sure. I'm just going to shy away from the Jets from winning the division and go with the Dolphins. I think it's going to be a tough year for Josh Allen and the Bills. Just too many injuries to overcome already. Too many defections as well. Dolphins bolstered their secondary a little bit. As we just talked about, hopefully that'll help on the back end in some of these high-stakes shootouts. All right, so I have the Dolphins, Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs winning the division. You have the Jets, Baltimore, Houston, and the Chiefs, correct?
Yes.
All right, we got to take a timeout, then we'll come back with the rest of the AFC playoff picture on the other side right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, including both of us having a little bit of a surprise playoff pick. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Records off the shelf.
Wow, you know this one?
It's in a lot of commercials.
Oh, that's
this is how... Swiffer's. This is Swiffer's like.
Who's Swifter?
Theme song. Swifter.
Who is that? Taylor Swifter.
The Swiffer sweeper.
Oh,
did I call it Swifter?
I think it's Swiffer.
It's
right?
Swiffer.
Okay.
Swiffer.
When you were saying Swifter, I thought you were talking about Tay-Tay.
And for the record, that is a risky business thing that they did for that ad campaign. So it's a reference from a reference on a song.
Right, because it was part of the
movie. That's how I know it,
It was part of the movie Risky Business, right?
Oh, yeah, it was the sock sliding scene.
Yes.
All right, so that's how you know
it. But they did that in the
commercial. You don't know who actually Bob Seger is, right?
I know Bob Saget.
Moving on.
Saget.
Oh.
Moving on.
He needs to pull it up, not sag it.
He's dead.
Oof. My RIP Bob and his Sam. I mean, Mike, get me off of this.
Please.
What do you want from me? All I try to do is come in here and respect folks. It was an accident, Chris. I mean, you and Matt, I mean, I... There's nobody else I'd rather catch my hijinks than you two.
Can you give me your AFC wildcard picks, please, before I lose
my AFC wildcard picks are as follows. Fifth-seeded Miami Dolphins, sixth-seeded Cincinnati Bengals, seventh-seed Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, all right.
Spicy.
Saucy. Who's your third wildcard?
Tennessee Titans.
Titans, okay.
Dolphins, Bengals, Titans from our AFC wild card teams.
I'm going to tell you this. You and I are in agreement on the seventh wild card spot.
You do nothing but listen to my national shows. Listen to all the good numbers and nuggets I give out, and then you steal my takes.
Exactly. And that's why when I turn into Infinity Sports Network, I hear, let's rock and roll, happy hour. hell, I'm sure you're going to start doing Dumb Dumb of the Day before too long, right? Because you need all the content from me.
What's the other one I say?
We both have the Titans as the seventh or third wild card, seventh playoff seed in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Where we differ is you have the Bengals as the sixth. I was thinking of the Bengals. I can't get over no Joe Mixon.
That's Joe, a big underdog.
Joe Burrow got hurt a bunch last year. Not to say that he's always
hurt.
And
he stunk before he was hurt.
But he got hurt right in between. He got hurt a bunch. Yeah. Start of the year and obviously, you know, halfway through the year or whatever it was. They still have all these contract things going on. I don't know how that affects Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I'm going to go away from the Bengals, who I penciled in for wild card two, and I'm going to piss you off and go with the Denver Broncos.
Jeez.
Good defense. Well, I ain't saying that anymore because they got rid of that fraud. Good defense.
Yeah.
I think Bo Nix in that system, you always talk about fit. If it don't fit, you must have quit. I think fit Bo Nix is as good of a fit with Sean Payton. I thought that early on in the draft process. I'm mad at myself that I didn't hammer that. I think Bo Nix is as good of a fit with a quarterback.
Yeah, the defense is
going to
be so good with Cody Barton as your right outside linebacker.
Anyway, moving on. I know their special teams are going to be great because my guy Ben Kotwicka runs them. And Paul Kelly, who not really my guy, but sort
Paul
of my
Kelly,
guy.
Paul Kelly, former Commander's communications guy?
Well, not communications PR? Guy. He was like in charge. He was like
security?
A coaching assistant.
Paul Kelly!
He was
Paul Kelly of the Broncos.
He was a coaching assistant. He was like Mike Shanahan's right-hand man, Jay Gruden's right-hand man. Anyway, he's out there. Mm-hmm. He's Sean Payton's right-hand man. So I'm going with the rich and creamy, not Denver Nuggets, the Denver Broncos. And wild card one, you have the Dolphins. Because I picked the Dolphins to win the AFC East, I'm going to go with the J-E-T-S.
Smart man.
Jets. Too much defense. I know Aaron Rodgers is a wild card, but ultimately I think Aaron Rodgers bounces back a little bit. I don't know if he plays all 17 games. They got a better backup quarterback situation than certainly they had last year as they took Tyrod Taylor away from the crosstown rival New York Giants. So, again, for me, Dolphins, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, division winners, Jets, Broncos, and Titans in order of the wild card. You have the Jets, Baltimore, Houston, Chiefs, Dolphins, Bengals, Titans. Tomorrow we will get to the AFC Championship game matchup and the AFC winner as well as our NFC picks because the season starts tomorrow with an AFC game. So we could bleed over to Friday if we need to, but we will try and get all of that done tomorrow. First, a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders were on the practice field today after celebrating Sam Cosmi's contract extension, reported a 4-year, $76 million contract with $45.5 million guaranteed. Now, of course, while celebrating that, once again, controversy dooming the organization as the Commanders have suspended a vice president of content who called who accused Jerry Jones of being racist and anti-gay, called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a quote-unquote $50 million puppet, amongst other things that he said in a secret video recording at a date that was set up by a media group called the O'Keefe Media Group. It's a mess. The team has suspended the actual employee. Meanwhile, the Nationals back in action tonight looking for a 2-game sweep. They'll try and do it with Mackenzie Gore, who has certainly bounced back in his last couple of starts. Was very good his last time out against the New York Yankees. Against the Miami Marlins tonight, who are anything but very good. Nationals winning the series opener last night. 62-76 is where they sit at. 6:40 the first pitch, 106.7 the fan. And from college football, LSU starting running back John Emery Jr. has a torn ACL, expected to miss the rest of the season for the 0-1 LSU Tigers. And that's what's trending. All right, before we get to clean up on aisle 3, which will feature a little Nats discussion and whatever else we can fit in, let's get to our buddy Sean in Connecticut, who's been on hold for a while. Sean, sorry about the long wait, but we had, you know, a lot of chaos going on and a lot of things that we had to take care of. How are you, pal? Oh, we lost Sean. I heard him there for a second, and then we lost him. Oh, there he is. I think. No. Is that Sean?
Hey, Chris. Sorry about that. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Sean.
Yeah, my phone slipped in my hand. I accidentally ended it. But, yeah, I just wanted to call in. I'm just really excited for week one. I honestly, at this point, it just feels good to have a coach that I can really rally behind and not be absolutely terrified that they're going to come out and lay an absolute dud. Yes, I could be proven wrong. That is a possibility. But I really think the main difference between this year and the Ron Rivera tenure is that the guys are actually going to come out and play hard and not win, what was it, two games barely, and then think that they're too good for a team and then come in and get mollywopped on primetime television. So I'm just looking forward to it, and I really do like the Cosme signing. I think you guys have been talking about how it's just the prices are just going to go up. I think it's smart. I think Cosme is great. Linnell, yes, you bring up some valid concerns with the health, but I think last year... And
I'm not saying I wouldn't have signed him, though, Sean. I'm just saying Chris was, he was double-talking.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
I am not... It's not that I'm not concerned. I mean, I said that a lot about Cosme in his first 2 years. I was shocked that he played all 17 games last year, but I've got to give him his due. He played well and played all 17 games, so I hope that is now the future. I hope.
Yes. Yeah, and I honestly, this might be wishful thinking, but I think it will be. I think he's a great player, and he's in his press conference just recently after practice, he said something like he wants to work even harder now that he's getting the new contract, and that's something you don't really see much to around here. But thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Sean. Sorry about the long wait. Appreciate you. Matty, I can't get rid of him, so if you can help me there, thank you very much. Just a couple of... news and note items that I don't believe we got to. Apparently, Jaden Daniels, according to Ben Standig's locker, Jaden Daniels' locker is sandwiched between Jeremy Chinn and Percy Butler, right? A quarterback in between two safeties.
I like that. The previous setup of the locker room, I guess, and I had never been in it before, so I'm just going off of what the tweet says.
Sure.
was that they were in cubicles based on pretty much position. And
that's largely how it was.
I think that's a bad idea, and it just shows it's more of the incompetence of Ron Rivera. Why in the hell would you set up?
I think that was before. I mean, he could have changed it, but I think that was, you know, that's a bit of thing that, as far as I can remember, that's not always
that's why
been
you have
done,
clicks
but
in
traditionally
your locker rooms.
Been done.
You
yeah.
put all the position players yeah. next to each other. They spend all day with each other in yeah. meetings. Do they want to sit in the locker room next
that's
to each
fair.
Other, too?
You're right, because Percy Butler and Jeremy Chinn, Chinn's only on a one-year deal, number right. one. Butler is, going into year three? I mean, there's no guarantee they're going to be here long-term,
right.
number one. Number two, they're two safeties,
right?
They have nothing to do with each other in it, with the exception of the one full team meeting that you have every morning. That's it. You know, and obviously going against each other in practice. So interesting there. Again, credit to Ben Standig for that information. And one other thing, I think we touched on this, but maybe I got lost. Again, Cornelius Lucas took the first individual reps, according to Mitch Tischler, today. Brandon Coleman was listed number one as the starter on the depth chart. I think Dan Quinn said before practice that he would have to go through the practice week in order to see if he would start, which is what I was arguing yesterday, obviously, not to take that and run with it. And why they did that, I don't know, but maybe that's their thought, that's their hope, what have you. We will see whether Brandon Coleman, obviously, is the starter on Sunday or not, but they are at least publicly, and it looks like on the practice field, making him earn it. So that is good news. We didn't get to, because of all this nonsense, who, and we're not going to be able to have an expansive argument against on it, but who is the next commander to get paid? Now that Sam Cosme, who was the obvious choice, got paid, who is the next commander to get paid? I have a good name for you, and I'm curious as to whether, now it can't be until the end of this year, but I have a good name for you that I don't think many are going to necessarily think of.
I got two guys that I would look at.
Mm-hmm.
I would be looking at two offensive guys. For me, it'd be...
Oh, it could be on any side of the ball.
For me, it's on offense, and I think it would probably be
It would probably be Diami or Brian Robinson to me. Like,
damn it.
I took your guys. I mean, because that's who I mean, I told you.
You just read my mind.
Good football minds.
I was going to go Brian Robinson more than Diami, but Diami can get paid before Brian Robinson because Brian Robinson is only 2 years in. Mm-hmm. You got to go through three full years before you can get a contract extension. Even as a non-first-round pick, Diami This is year four for Diami. Mm-hmm. So he is eligible already to get a contract extension.
Depending on how he plays, I think he may get one of the season's end. They seem to really like him, man.
I think B-Rob is more valuable at this point right now.
B-Rob is going to go off this year.
But I think Diami might get paid first, if that makes sense, because he's eligible to get paid first.
I think they're ultimately going to be two important pieces to the offense this year.
Maybe we can discuss tomorrow, like on defense, if there's anybody because we're both in agreement on that, if there's anybody else on defense, maybe special teams, who knows, that we can get into. All right, it is time to wrap up the show. How we like to wrap up the show, everything that we did, well, not everything, just a smattering of the things we could not get to because this show is insane. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two. A mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, couple of things NFL-wise. Ja'Marr Chase back on the practice field for the Cincinnati Bengals in uniform. Remember, he's been playing the stupid holdout game and being unprofessional and trying to out-leverage instead of just being a football player and getting paid like from being a football player. Ja'Marr Chase finally on the practice field for the Cincinnati Bengals. Remember, they are the Week 3 opponent for the Washington Commanders. Number two from the NFL. Bill Belichick, who's got more jobs than Linnell, and I mean that as a compliment, is now not only on job number six with the 33rd team and Mike Tannenbaum, which I'm happy to see because I like Mike and I like the 33rd team, but he announced on Pat McAfee's show today that he has done something that you're not going to believe. Bill Belichick has joined... Wait for it. Snapface. Or Instagram.
What did you call it, Snapface?
Yeah, that's what he called it. Didn't he call it Snapface?
Yeah, he did.
I think it was Snapface, I believe. Snapface. Oh, Instaface.
My book.
Oh, he called it Instaface today. I think he called it Snapface like 3 years ago. Bill Belichick is on Instagram. Bill Belichick is a media mogul. Bill Belichick.
You know what Bill Belichick's got? A really smart agent that told him to do all this media because he is going to be the most sought-after head coach on the market.
Yeah. You know one other big one that I sent you that I tweeted about, I think, earlier this morning, but it was so long ago. A dude I used to work with when I was covering the Commanders for SI, he covered the 49ers for SI as well, SI.com, I should say. His name is Grant Cohn. C-O-H-N.
Grant Cohn. No offense to Grant Cohn. A lot of the stuff that he like has been putting out, I think, is like he's trying to get clicks.
Of course he is.
Everyone's trying to get clicks.
I'm not telling you it's true, not telling you it's not, whatever. I mean, I'm skeptical. But he reported that a source in the 49ers organization told him that they ownership is pissed at Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for what? For spending too much money to bring back Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And don't forget, they did an extension on Christian McCaffrey's deal, and they still got to deal with Brock Purdy's deal after this year and the rest of their roster. Ownership apparently is pissed that they haven't won a Super Bowl, number one. Number two, that they're spending too much money and that they were hoping to save money. You know what that's called? Jed York, Denise York, any kind of York peppermint patty, Parag Marath, whatever his name is. You know what that's called? It's called stupidity. It's called unaware, tone deaf, not understanding what league you're in.
So
you are going to pay great players big time money. That's it, period. If you want great players, you got to pay them. And oh, by the way, one team wins the Super Bowl every year, and they were one play away. They were one stinking, lousy fourth down run by Patrick Mahomes on a quarterback keeper away from winning the Super Bowl.
So I'll say this, right? What that reminds me of is how messy the divorce was between the York family, Trent Baalke, and Coach Harbaugh.
Yes.
That is what this reminds me of. Yep. I don't know much about Grant Cohn. If what he's saying is true, and they don't win it this year, and they fall drastically short of expectations.
Drastically short is different than losing an overtime game to the Chiefs.
I'm just saying, I'm using that context.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch get, you know, like they decide to part ways after this year if things don't go right, and meaning they lose in the first round of the playoffs or don't make the playoffs or whatever, which I think they will, and we'll get to that more tomorrow. All right, last thing on the docket. The Nationals opened up their little mini two-game series over the horrible, wretched Marlins last night. 6-2 win. That's 8-0 against the Fish this year. Tonight,
you gave up two runs to the Marlins?
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. Tonight, they go for win number 9 in a row before four-game set next week. But the most encouraging sign, before he leaves the Nationals, Patrick Corbin has decided to wait until the most insignificant time of the year and the most insignificant period of his contract to actually pitch good. 5 2/3 last night, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 8 Ks, 3 walks, the win. He's now 5-12 with a 5.41 ERA. Listen, his contract is up at the end of the year. There's no way he's coming back, but it is good after so many years of struggles. He's now pitched well in several, I think it's 3 games in a row, 3 wins in a row. Mackenzie Gore goes for another good start tonight. He's pitched well his last couple of times out. Their starting pitching has been terrific. Their bullpen has been way better all year, even after the trade deadline, than people thought it was. 6-2 over the Marlins last night. Again, they go for 9 in a row against Miami, a team that used to give them all sorts of problems. So kudos to Davey Martinez's troops. And you know what, Linnell? One of the worst fielding teams in baseball. And a disaster over the weekend. They didn't commit an error last night. You know who's worse? The Marlins. They committed 2.
Were there any base running mistakes?
Yes. Dylan Cruz. Well, I don't know if you would call it a mistake. Dylan Cruz got thrown out trying to steal second in the first inning. But Jacob Young had a really aggressive run home, if you will, or take off from third on an infield chopper to score the sixth run in the top of the ninth. But it was really aggressive. It was, you know, good eye, good everything, whatever. All right, so the Nationals coming up 6:40, first pitch over on the Fan, 6:10, the pregame coverage. And that, my friends, is how you do clean up on aisle 3.
Clean up in aisle 3.
Coming up next. Oh, I forgot about this. The Nationals game day weather. Well, you see, they are playing indoors, my friends. Yes, indeed, they are playing indoors at Lone Depot Park. So, even though the temperature outside will be in the mid to upper 80s with incredibly suffocating humidity, they will be indoors. Temperature climb.
Well, that makes Grand Paulson happy.
Absolutely. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. I don't know if it was the sharks in the water off the coast of Cambodia, but this guy got some bad advice from somebody. We'll tell you who and why next on Dum Dum of the Day, straight ahead. Oh, how about a little Cyndi Lauper? I wasn't expecting that. It was a wrestling theme, though. Was. Cyndi Lauper was huge in the 80s with Captain Lou. And kind of like the impact Taylor Swift has had on the NFL. I mean, nobody would be watching the NFL if it wasn't for Taylor Swift.
You're such a hater.
Turn on your microphone. That would help. All right, it is time for Dumb Dumb of the Day, wrapping up the show as we like to do.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right, very quickly, the Las Vegas Raiders, formerly the Oakland Raiders, formerly the Los Angeles Raiders, have not made a Super Bowl since the 2002 season. However, one bettor at Caesar Sports in Nevada waged $31,000 on the Raiders to win the Super Bowl, not to make the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl this year at 80-1 odds. The bet would win this stupid idiot $2.48 million. I guess if you have $31,000 to just throw around and waste, you're good. The Raiders are the last team I would be picking to win a Super Bowl. So you, sir, assuming you're a sir, you're a dope.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
$31,000 on the Raiders to win the Super Bowl. Interesting. Okay, well, that does it. Gardner Minshew Mania would really take off at that point. Linnell, thank you. You are a crazy, crazy SOB, but I love you anyway. We're back tomorrow for a little Throwdown Thursday action. Ooh-hoo.
Oh, the chastising rooster.
Craig Hoffman up next. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Adios.